Atlantic Threads. Atlantic Threads is an initiative led by Pivot in partnership with African Artists Foundation, Dig Where You Stand, and Cité Internationale des Arts in Paris. This project, Prologue, was supported by the Embassy of France in Brazil and the Institut Français in the framework of the Brazil-France season 2025. The artists were welcomed in Paris as part of the Institut Français and Cité Internationale des Arts residency program. Conversation 2. Tigana Santana. Tigana Santana is a professor at the Institute of Brazilian Studies at the University of São Paulo, with a PhD in literature and a degree in philosophy. His interdisciplinary research explores Afro-referenced, Afro-Brazilian, and indigenous artistic and philosophical expressions. He is also a translator, composer, and performer, and was the first in the history of Brazilian music to release an album with songs in African languages as a composer. In 2023, he was one of the artists who participated in the 35th São Paulo Biennial. In this conversation with Olivier Marbeuf, author, curator, and cultural theorist, Tigana Santana develops some of his reflections about presence, transmission, and the ethics of the Afro-Brazilian site of culture, between visible and invisible relations.
Good evening. Welcome to Atlas Cité des Arts for the second conversation of the Atlantic Fed program. I've got personally the huge pleasure to be in conversation with Tigana Santana, which is a philosopher, an academic, but also a musician and researcher in music or in sound. You will tell us a lot about that. And so the Atlantic Thread program is also the first step of an attempt of creating conversation both sides of the Atlantics, and that we aim that later on all the episode of that those conversations will happen probably in Brazil, probably also in West Africa, trying to deepen the possibility of creating some collaboration and collaborative works in between those two geographies. So today, with Tigana, we're going to jump slowly in your work. I think the attempt of the conversation is also to try to unfold your practice from a different perspective. And so we talk already several times, but I will have to play the innocent this evening just to try to share all your practices that is coming also from really a research about music and also African legacy in the Afro-Brazilian culture. And also on one hand, in a very practical way of playing some music and singing with African languages, and on the other hand, also researching new epistemologies for Afro-Brazilian culture. And so the first thing, the starting point that I would like to share with you is really something that is, a notion that is really central in your practice, which is the question of presence. Form an idea of present time that will be the site where all the past presence can be also gathered in a way. And that idea of the present time as a space of archive, which is a certain way is a way to escape from the linear old-funding of the Western time, in the sense of getting out from the idea of the past, present, and future as past of something that is lost and future that is something that has not happened in the Western epistemologies. In your case, you really focus on the idea of the present time as a space where all the times can be assembled, and it will lead us to a reflection about on one hand, or about a practice related to that presence in your work, but also a question about the notion of ancestrality, which is a word that is now coming more and more in the contemporary arts as a kind of currency of African descent artists. And it will take also a bit of time to talk about that question of the ancestrality of a new black currency and how we can consider that relationship in between ancestrality and, for the first moment, about the notion of presence and the present time, which seems to be a kind of opposition in the Western perspective in between ancestrality as a form of past and present time as a form of permanence.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's a great pleasure to be here. Olivier, it's my pleasure to talk to you. You know that, and we've been discussing, and I've been discussing with Cindy as well, and my colleagues in this project, Annalise, Olufemi, Gabi de Matos. So it's really, it's a precious situation. So thank you. It's nice to be here at Cité as well. And yes. I have a story. When my grandparents were celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary, then my grandfather, who is 99 years old now, he'll turn 100. He was born 1925, such as François Fanon. So he answered someone who asked him about the experience of being married for so long, that when one knocks on the door, his words, to enter a house, the person that is inside the house usually asks, "Who is this?" Not, "Who was this?" It's about always updating ancestry, as some African cosmologists tell us to do. Otherwise, we lose our access, you know. So, and this moving ancestry also tells us that there is no line in terms of being, given that being is maybe at once a veiling and an unveiling happening. That's all about presence, of course. And this has nothing to do with being linear. As we know, being linear in that case is an interpretation of the action of being unidirectional in the course of time. The point is that, in very general terms, this invention we call the West is deep-rooted in linear connections and separations. Just to summarize a little bit, since Aristotle and Plato, you know, but also after their philosophical perspectives, if we consider the power of Christianism, framed the West as well as the so-called modernity and its philosophical starting point in the thought of Descartes. So, considering the history of the Western ideas, I mean, in the 29th century, okay, Nietzsche questioned for the first time, since modernity entered the scene, how rationality is placed in the West, okay? And in 1927, Heidegger, in his book Being and Time, Sein und Zeit, wrote about the forgetfulness of being if one considers the action of being. So for Heidegger, in the end of the day, being is time. Being is time, as well as he talks about presence, etc., etc. The point is that some African cosmologies, I've been systematically studying, and I'm connected to, of course, in a diasporic condition, have already uttered these things thousands and hundreds of years, even before Aristotle and Plato, you know. So Kalunga, for instance, Kalunga from the Ambundu and the Bakongo culture, and originally I totally disagree with this translation of Kalunga as God. You know, because not every culture needs God. So Kalunga, for instance, is a very complex polysemic principle whereby one can think about, as well as practice, the different movements of being. We can later talk more about Kalunga. In its basis, it's all about being in relation to. Eshu also is a Yoruba principle of circularity, and also of moving in the course of space and time. That's Eshu. And also, it's worshipped. You know, there are rituals for Eshu, but first of all, it's a principle, as an energy that could be present in everything that lives. Everything that lives, I mean, not only biologically, of course. Life is not all about biology or biotic things. And so, I think it's important just to visit this history of Western ideas, and, you know, just to put everything in perspective and think about our philosophies, epistemologies, and ways of living. So, yeah, that's it. And
of course, a lot of things in what you said, that firstly, in the, let's say, Afro-Brazilian perspective, and I would say in the Caribbean ones too, there is a kind of, let's say, collision in between those two conception or several conception of time. Because I think that that created an idea of modernity that could be produced in a way with the body of others. Because as we know, the question of modernity is a way for the West to become modern by using the bodies of others, but is not indeed addressed to others as most of people think. The modernization project is based off of self-modernization and destruction of the self-destruction of the European rituals. At the very time that Europe is less modern than China, for instance, if we made a comparison of in the Middle Age, for instance, the situation of the European society is really, really deeply a kind of really dark mysticism. And so not so modern in the sense of Descartes and others will phrase it later. So what happened with the context of Brazil in between those two conceptions of time? And what is also the position, I would say, in our hearts of that collision for Afro-Brazilian people?
That's a very, very good question because, you know, of course, we are all crossed by this colonial presence, for sure. It's interesting because African thinkers, just like Oyeronke Oyeumi in Nigeria, or Esiaba Irobi in Nigeria as well, they argue that that's interesting. They argue that not everything, when you consider the African existences, not everything is you know influenced by the colonial existence. But when we talk about Brazil, of course everything is touched, influenced, and framed by the colonial way of living and thinking, etc. They are different realities. But at the same time, of course, I think, yes, we have to assume that we are here discussing in colonial languages, you know, thinking in colonial languages, and language is not only a matter of artificial communication. Our bodies are shaped by the way you think, speak, so by this choreography just issued by the languages, of course. But I think at the same time, we have Kalunga in Brazil as well. We have Quilombo in Brazil as well. And these are very, very important and deep points, doorways, just for entering other ways of living and existing. So we are just in this choreography, mediating this experience in the crossroads, you know, just deciding, not deciding, you know, giving, receiving, and that's it. It's we have to know how to dance, you know?
I don't think
how to translate as a movement, to translate as a movement. So that's the experience.
Yeah, in addition to it, I think it's the first instance of the question of transplantations that we will talk about, because we are in a kind of double transplantation coming back to the Europe. But the first one is also a kind of transformation and a way of, as you say, in a way re-implement traces of African cultures in other contexts. As I said, Afro-Brazilian, like Afro-Caribbean people, are transplant indigenous. Mm-hmm. So there is a kind of oxymoron in between being not from here and becoming here. Mm-hmm. That means that there is a possibility of a recomposition, partly reinvent and partly relationally reinvent, mm-hmm. of something that is the African time in the America's context. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the Quilombo, there is also that question that we talked about before about the relation in between indigenous and Afro-descent culture, which is sometimes and even often put on the side or performed at least in the Caribbean context, but I know in the Brazilian too, as a kind of opposition contesting the legitimacy of black people being indigenous, using the fact that there are other indigenous before them. Again, a notion of time, who was there before? And I would like to talk about... what is before. And I would like to come back to that space that Quilombo is, which is relational, to reflect about what does it mean indeed being in relation or an ethic of relation that is, in a French context, a bit overused as a way to say, reading in a certain perspective, I will say in a certain white perspective, Edouard Glissant, that saying that the ethic of relation is just open doors of the territory to the white epistemologists, which is indeed considering that the relation is only based on relation between human. You have been nice with me because Edouard Glissant told you to be. Yes. This is a new form of cops. Yes. Considering that his relation is only related to interpersonal human being relation, when indeed in a Quilombo spirit, it's also a relation with a lot of form of existences that are not only human.
That's really interesting. I think I should revisit the idea of presence that you evoked before. So there's something quite interesting about this Latin word, presence, which prefix, refers to an anticipation. That's interesting. First to an anticipation. There's something here that is now here due to its anticipation, and not necessarily as a cause, because the anticipation is displaced, and what is now here is also displaced. That's why I said we have to learn how to dance. Yeah. In such way, we have this perspective of being as a temporal movement, merging what's before and what's now, and and when one revisits Kalunga again, Kalunga principle, it's also possible to have contact with this idea of presence and of relation, as I said. So, in this context of presentification, we have ontological situations taking place, and it can happen in a multi-directional way. One entity, one happening, one work of art can be several different entities, happenings, and creations, etc. At the same time. It's about relation. I'll get there. So, and for instance, the Congo principle of Kundu, like one says in Kikongo, Kundu, and the Tupinambá for example, and other Amerindian principles of becoming another, you know, are about this conception. This kind of transformative state of being. Okay. Of course, it's all about we discussed before, and it's all about tremblant avec Edouard Glissant, hein? Tremblant avec la poétique de la relation, which means that relations generate everything about our living experience. Okay, a wider perspective. So the people in Quilombos, they knew that. We have the indigenous people from Brazil. They are completely different from the Bantu people who framed the Quilombo structures all over the Brazilian territory, the Brazilian marronage. Of course, there were conflicts between these different people, considering the different cultures, languages, different bodies, different sorts of presence. But at the same time, this ethics is an ethics of the movement. Is an ethics that can improve the existence, the action of existing, and you know, it's the being about being aware that we are not rempli de nous-mêmes. There are other beings, other sorts of existence, other dimensions, and we know how to establish a relationship with these other beings. We can form a community, actually, because we all live, first of all, and at the same time, we can recognize the differences, even the enemies are part of this community in wider terms. So people are cultivating this way of living for a very, very, very long time. You know, in Europe it's completely different. It's on the contrary. They're killing each other, you know, just, it's a kind of, you're covering other sorts of existence. And when I talk about this Quilombo way of living, of course, I'm not talking about pacifying this relation with the differences. No, it's not about this. It's about actually recognizing that there are other sorts of existence. You know, and without ontological hierarchy, in practical terms, that's it.
Yes, coming to that, there is several things that spawn in my mind. Not a lot of, indeed, but first thing, I would like to come back to perhaps some elements that could be formally identify as part of ethics on Black and Indigenous side or place. We talk about the circularity of the time, but we can talk also about the circularity of the performance of the space, a space which has to be performed, actualized, which is not permanent, but which includes to behold. The space has to behold with the presence of people. And we talk about the fact that holding the space is a form of responsibility. But what I'm interested in that idea of the circle, the space of the circle, is something that doesn't really exist in the Western context. This is the practice of I see you and you see me. The circle is that.
Horizontally.
Yeah, and so I can see you and you can see me, and we got a common responsibility of holding that circle, or where everybody can see everybody, meaning I see you. Which is quite difficult to create as a kind of black ethics out of that context. I do think that in a Western context, it's impossible to say to your black folks, I see you, without being considering of being a kind of threat. I don't know why, I don't know what it is, but it could be dangerous to say that and never being considered as a form of common responsibility. That means that you see me too. That doesn't mean there is no hierarchy in between me seeing you and you seeing me. Our both presence are necessary to hold the space. So I would like to talk about what kind of form and consequences on cosmogony and aesthetic can come from that idea of a space which is not permanent, have to be performed, and the question of responsibility as something that can be opposed of the practice of extraction. Meaning, cause the entanglement of all elements of what is constituting the present place means that nothing can be extracted as an object. And we come also to that two question, reflect about what is the ethic and the form of that black site and the ethic of the form of the black object. I know it's a difficult thing there.
Yes, definitely, but it's the important thing to think about and to face, you know. Of course, we are building together this space of mediation, you know. I would say that revisiting that. The idea of presence again, because it's about this always, you know. There are some, and I think it's related to the question of transplantation, of course. Huh? So I don't know if I anticipate the question, but because it's the question of transplantation. I think we can answer to this question living in this kind of black ethics. So, and of course, it's not about a metaphysics of an ethical behavior. It's not about this. It's about another thing. We can just revisit Césaire. We can just, you know, négritude n'est pas une métaphysique, n'est pas biologique, n'est pas ça. C'est une réponse. I would say that there are some presences, some absences, some practices, some spirits, I don't know, attached to our bodies, to our own presences. And I think we should learn how to cultivate the ones that hold us up. Okay, that's one thing. And of course, I'd like to point out that it's not about negotiating all the thing, okay, selling or just offering them to, you know, for example, to this place.
A form of commodification, you mean?
Yes. Hmm. You know, and at the same time, there are practices that require this sort of physical relationship between our presences and what we can call territories. But the circle is a concept, a practice is at the same time. There's no it makes no sense to separate concept, symbol, experience, art, philosophy. It doesn't make sense. So it's a concept that you can, in a way, you can live with wherever you go. And at the same time, there are some circles attached and formed also by some territories and by some beings which are present in such territories. So I think we have to, it's a very, very complex, deep learning process. What does belong to Guadeloupe and in Guadeloupe some territories? And what does belong to some territories in Ouida, etc.? So, and at the same time, how can I carry this concept of circle in other circumstances?
Yeah, but
and outside these territories. So,
when you talk about territory, there is really that question that comes with, which is attachment and reciprocity.
Yes.
So indeed, you are not only attached to a territory as a territory as something that is outside from of you, but is a kind of relation of reciprocity
and of manifestation.
Yeah, totally.
As well.
So meaning that in some situation of transplantation, there is a kind of impossibility of practicing some things because there is no possible reciprocity with the territory.
Completely.
And so I would like to come to something that is for me again a kind of a form of oxymoron, but is but indeed I think it's a part of
it's life.
And it's so, and it's really interesting to see that as soon as you try to think about the transplantation in culture, you stand in oxymoron every time.
Every time.
Because there is a permanent contradiction that is not problematic in a way, you know, the non-problematic contradiction. Because people ask you to try to resolve in the context, Western context, or in France, you have to resolve some contradiction. Please, please, you are saying something that is in contradiction, no? Can you sort it out? It says, no, I think contradiction is where I want to come. Mm-hmm. And one of that oxymoron contradiction that I would like to share about the transplantation is the productivity of the refusal.
Yes. Yes. That's the point. So if we continue thinking about that. So the thing is, of course, there are some practices that require this physical relationship between presences and territories. And I think we should learn how to peremptorily deny their displacement. Okay? And it's about asking, do we need the European, French, white, gaze to exist? Are we just reactive to the West? Or are we dancing again among our multi-temporal codes and proposing different experiences, deeply dealing with the imminence, another point, deeply dealing with what hasn't come yet, you know? So, yes, I have to talk about that. I'm here in Paris, in France. We're talking about transplantation. I came from a colonized territory, so I have to talk about that. We are in France, and this country is shaped by the idea of extractivism, of course. And it's part of the noyau of the colonial practices, even nowadays.
And the demand of extraction of object from the circle.
For sure. And if, that's the point, if the, and it's also for white people in Brazil, okay? It's not only about France. But if the French people think the Francophone, for example, imperialistic idea is something normal, everything is wrong about this place. The French institutions and progressive, open-minded people who were born here must be ashamed and uncomfortable about this whole thing, of course. You know, you're from Guadeloupe. France d'Outre-mer, qu'est-ce que ça?
I think here the hexagon is our Outre-mer too. I think both are Outre-mer indeed.
But it's inconceivable, you know. Yes, nowadays. And you have Le Deuxième Bureau in Afrique. Okay. The same happens to white institutions in Brazil. That reproduce the same colonial logic, same colonial logistics as well. And that's why maybe Carlos Moore, who lives in Guadeloupe, says that we black people are exiled people. Exiled people. Because we cannot go back and forth geographically freely, you know, because we are placed as black people, first of all. And this is an ontological issue. It's not about a social position. It's ontological, you know? So that's why we're exiled. That's it. But this colonial mindset and set of actions wants us to be stuck, and we should fly. And there are different sorts of flight, you know. So that's it. It's about, you know, transplantation. We are here. We are in that situation. Atlantic threads, Cité des Arts, Institut Français, Europe. Nowadays, I'm from Brazil. My colleagues are from West Africa. And what does it mean? Olivier is from Guadeloupe, okay? Cindy was born here. But it's a black woman that was born here. So what this set of things means? You know, we have to face the things. 2025. Okay.
Yeah, it's nice as a transition. So, I think it's very honest, and I got okay, several other things that I would like to dig with you, but I would like also to share a mic with our audience or our allies and companions there to open the conversation for the last 15 minutes of that conversation before the second round. So there is a mic, orange mic is yours. So if you want to enter in the circle, add in remarks or question or things you welcome. I think somebody got a gift from the city. The first one who is speaking got a gift from the city. I always say that because it's always the most difficult things to be the first one to speak. And I will tell you the gift later, of course. But now, just to feel free, just to perhaps add something or just add the remarks.
Hola. Mm-hmm. Bonsoir. Mon anglais, malheureusement, ne va pas être suffisant pour poser la question que j'ai envie. Então, eu vou falar em francês e em português.
Santana is understanding French. Santana comprend le français, donc si tu veux.
Posso falar diretamente em francês? Ah, então tá bom. Perfeito. Je suis très contente, en fait, de partager avec vous cette question ce soir, parce que, comme je disais, Olivier Marbeuf, on se connaît déjà, ça fait un petit moment, et je suis très heureuse de t'écouter ce soir pour la première fois et de découvrir ta pensée qui me touche beaucoup. Cela fait 15 ans que j'habite ici en France, et j'évolue ici en tant qu'artiste et chercheuse, Donc, je suis en train de terminer ma thèse de doctorat. Donc, ces questions philosophiques de la question de la transnationalité, d'être un Afro-Brésilien qui évolue en France m'intéresse beaucoup. Et je me sens souvent très solitaire, d'ailleurs, de penser ça ici dans ces territoires. Ce sont des questions avec la population afrodescendante qui j'évolue ici, ce sont des questions nouvelles en fait, parce que déjà le Brésil c'est loin, déjà le Brésil c'est le portugais, et puis voilà. Donc c'est intéressant que dans le cadre de cette saison France-Brésil, nous avons cette opportunité donc de ramener donc ces dialogues et ces pensées-là dans l'art, par exemple. En tant qu'afro-descendante, métisse amérindienne, bon bref, on ne va pas dire que je peux travailler ici en tant qu'artiste afro-descendante, je suis plutôt latino-américaine, si on va utiliser les catégories de marché de l'art, ou, voilà. Donc ça, c'est hyper intéressant de voir les ruptures de cette notion que vous avez ramenée, qui est de la transposition forcée. Il y a donc ces côtés de la rupture qui est presque un lieu, en sorte de vortex qu'on tourne autour de nous-mêmes. Et je me demande si c'est possible d'en sortir ou s'il faut faire de ça une force, parce que j'ai l'impression qu'il y a presque il y a une mutualité, une impossibilité de faire les deux. Ça, on parle des termes, bien entendu, conçus par une pensée impérialiste, dominante, etc. Donc, dans la pensée de la déconstruction possible, décoloniale, etc., afrodescendante, du quilombisme ou autre, je me demande aujourd'hui, c'est plutôt une réflexion qu'une question, je me demande aujourd'hui quelles sont les ruptures que nous devons nourrir en tant que force. Parce que je trouve que, au lieu d'essayer toujours d'essayer de faire les continuités ou des dialogues ou des ponts, il y a aussi un moment de la rupture qui doit être incarné dans nos corps en tant que force libératrice, en fait. Et je dis ça pourquoi? Bon, là, cette année, c'est la première fois, par exemple, que j'expose dans une exposition qui va avoir lieu au Brésil, à São Paulo, réalisé par une institution française qui s'intitule The Power of My Hands avec des artistes afro-descendantes de l'Afrique. Et donc, c'est la première fois que l'Afrique, en tant qu'artiste, hein, moi je parle de mon expérience personnelle, voit le Brésil en tant que continuité de l'Afrique. Souvent, c'est le Brésil, c'est autre chose, en fait. Et donc, je conclue sur ça. Longtemps, je pensais qu'il fallait essayer de se rattacher ou de trouver ces ponts qui nous lient les uns aux autres. Et finalement, je me suis dit que peut-être il y a aussi quelque chose que nous devons aussi construire en termes de rupture, mais une rupture insurrectionnelle, en fait, une rupture en termes de pensée philosophique aussi de l'art.
Bon, je suis totalement d'accord. Vous avez déjà la réponse. C'est une réflexion.
I think what is nice in that is coming back to the productivity of refusal. There is no contradiction in between insurrection and alliance.
No, not at all.
And so when there is some proposal that's supposed to be based on relation, where they are named from here, there are all more meaning pacification. So let's say, we can say productive insurrection, a form of friendship through insurrection.
Yes.
So those kind of things that are normally put in opposition, to ask them to be more good people instead of having good life.
Yes.
I would like to add something about objects.
Please.
Also, because I think, because you're an artist, you're a musician.
Okay.
So now you're active in those different fields. We talk about a lot about your research, your philosophic approach. But also, you're also a singer, a musician, working with African languages. So I would like to deepen a bit your path from that direction, how you come to do that, through the lens of that question of what we called before loaded and unloaded objects, meaning what does it mean for a culture that an object is loaded in the sense of a kind of an object with responsibility, so an object which is a part of what is holding this place, and the idea of that unloaded object which is extracted from his responsibilities and context and become an object which is dead or a ghost of the other object, which is for the market of the art and so on.
Déchargé.
L'objet déchargé. Déchargé de responsabilité. La personne déchargée est l'objet déchargé. I would like to talk a bit about that, about what you did also with African languages. That is also related with what we said just before about the fact that indeed the way you work with African languages in new music is not exactly African, because you're creating something new from that, so accepting the transplantation of the African language in the Brazilian context, but trying also to keep that idea of being responsible of something through building a space with music and sound.
And it's also about refusal, etc., about that ethics, everything together. Thank you, Olivier, for this question. To be honest, I think I would say that nobody from my generation in Brazil went so deep and so further regarding a sort of black musical conception, like me, actually. And of course, inspired by Iliaye, inspired by Jorge Ben, inspired by Clementina Jesus, inspired by Dorival Caymmi. There was a long way before, and I was inspired by these people, and I did my thing. And I've been combining both a political and an aesthetic dimension of black art in Brazil through music, by creating African languages, going to the rhythms, different tones of instruments. I conceived my instrument, you know, and translating philosophies into musical expression. And I'm alone, of course, because you know, I had no concession. I'm here in my thing because aesthetic and ethics are the same, and they are also a way of knowing and inventing realities, dreams. Dreams are realities, so that's the thing. That's the point for me. I have the whole idea of what I've been doing, you know, and in my tiny space, I have the whole idea of why I'm doing, and I know why I'm alone. I know, and that's fine. No problem. No problem.
Imagine the next step from that experience of encounters with Atlantic Thread, meaning that the conversation will open with Cindy, with Annelies, with Olifemi. What could come from those conversations, even happening in Paris, and this incredible hospitality, you know, Paris Noir. You know, it's Paris Noir, c'est cool. We're very happy to discover that as people from Paris, that Paris is black. Well, it's something new for us. But police should know it too, just to say, end of quote. But yeah, just what do you imagine from that? What could be a next step from that encounter in between the continent, Brazilian people, including that kind of also triangle with passing by European capitals? What do you imagine that beyond what you're already try to experience what could be for you a new step.
Okay. So in my experience, of course, based on this collective Afro-Brazilian manifestations, cultural manifestations, that's what I call the archives of the present. Okay? Archives of the present. Or how we can keep producing just like our ancestors and in diaspora, I mean, inventing occupying imminence again, and necessarily with constantly transformed and very ancient technologies of being, tools. But I think regarding specifically this this project, you know, I would say that we should try to start making fundamental questions that people don't make in general from Brazil, even black scholars. As if these connections between Brazil and West Africa were already done. Okay? So we could ask, for instance, what does West Africa means, first of all, from Brazil?
From the Afro-Brazilian perspective.
From the Afro-Brazilian perspective, for sure. And what do the connections between these two territories could be? You know, I think we could start just you know, en posant ces questions-là. And yes, because we are building something. At once we are revisiting situations and inventing situations. Mm. But this relationship, it's not done.
Very important to say that, not to think of something that is already there.
Yes.
But also try also to take it seriously the practice of speculation. Yes. I always says that the strongest speculation we are living in is called Europe. You know, for instance, of course, Europe is not, it's not less a speculation that the Afro-Brazilian and West African relationship is something to be done and have been done through storytellings, mm-hmm. through proposal, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and become effective because through a practice of making that is not only based on social and political construction as people things, but also mostly based on storytelling, isn't it?
Yes.
And so the practice of projection of storytelling on others.
That's it.
And so I do think that artists get a very important place in that, mm-hmm. to create other routes and speculative routes that have to be built. And that's a good question to come back to the very beginning to end that first conversation. To the question of what could be a black ethic, black ethics. What does it mean? Mm-hmm. If you don't consider that is a form that is produced to be an output and a currency to other people than people involved in the circle.
Yes. You know, it's that's why I started our conversation by just summarizing a little bit this history of Western ideas from Aristotle, Plato, Descartes to Heidegger in 1927. You know, because, of course, it's interesting because Heidegger talks about the forgetfulness of being and the separation of the overcoming of metaphysics. And we are within this perspective, we all, of course, by force, by this violent hegemony. So this sort of thinking was globalized. I think we should take into account that the situations and realities are not metaphysical. There's no substance, unidirectional, just stuck in a place and in a sort of living time that could inform us how to live. So it's to say that we could learn with these different cosmologies, which constitute ourselves, of course, that we are the experience of living is a moving experience, So it's about also Black ethics. It's not an ethics a priori, préalable, avant la lettre. It's a sort of ethics that, in a way, could be expressed by the presence of the bodies, and can be updated. And can, it's another sort of choreography as well. And all our conversation was about dancing, for sure. And so I think we have to deny, we have to refuse some situations. Yeah. And as well, we should activate other sorts of being. That's it. And and these things are not done. These things are not done. That's what I would say, And we should think, we should conceive things, create, and just outside of the gaze, as I said, of what is established as and I try to do this.
We all try, yes.
Honestly, yeah. I try to do this. So it ça ne m'intéresse pas, ça je fais pas. voilà. Yes, ça je choisis.
Thank you very much, Sigana, for that. We're going to let the room for the second conversation. Somebody told me that there's still 5 minutes, but I think you want 5 minutes in between just to everybody have a small break before the second conversation in between Cindy Sosoko and Annelise Agosa. Thank you very much for your attention. We try to create and open a first circle that I hope you will also be part and use it. So 5 minute breaks, and so we restart the second conversation. And thank you for your attention. Thank you, Tigana.
Obrigado, Olivier.
Obrigado.
Obrigado.
Atlantic Threads.